Hey, this is your Olympic hero, Kurt Angle, and you're listening to Snug Wrestling. Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
What's happening, everybody? Happy Monday. Welcome back to the Snug Wrestling Podcast. I feel like I haven't recorded anything in a while. That's because Mother's Day weekend was super long for me. I didn't get to watch Backlash live. I had to watch it later on, and we haven't done the review for that yet, but we're gonna do it eventually, hopefully tonight. So it's good to be back, and I was excited for Monday Night Raw. They were in Louisville, Kentucky tonight. This is a Raw after Backlash, and sadly, this was a tribute for the late great Sabu, who passed away. I believe it was yesterday morning. They had a couple tribute videos on tonight's Monday Night Raw, as well as some of the superstars were paying tribute to Sabu, like CM Punk and Karrion Kross. I believe those two were the only ones. But yeah, it was interesting. I wonder how Sabu would really feel about this, because he never shied away of sharing how he really felt about the WWE. But the WWE still pay tribute to him tonight on this episode of Monday Night Raw. But other than that, fellas, how are y'all doing? Welcome back. How was your guys' Mother's Day weekend?
Boring as shit. Fine until a 40-pound duck flew into my windshield, folks, and blew glass all over the inside of my car.
Yeah, dude, that when you sent me the picture of that, or you sent us a picture, I was like, how the fuck does that even happen? Because you said you were going like 40 miles an hour, right?
Yeah, 40 miles an hour, which is the speed limit outside of our apartment complex. I made it 45 seconds down the road. Duck swoops in front of the bumpers on the opposite side of the car, or the opposite side of the street, trying to barrel its way back up into the air, and swoops like this, and then goes straight up into the full driver's side corner of my Mustang. Blows half the windshield in, shatters glass all over my wife.
That fool, that fucking swerve. That bird must have been fucking flying like 50 miles an hour for the damage that it did to your car.
It was like when I saw it right before, because I noticed it on the other side of the street, because it's open, it's only four lanes, but I thought it was coming up, and thought, okay, he's going to fly over my car, just don't shit on my car. No, he freaking kamikaze'd himself into my car. Like World War II Japanese kamikaze.
Maybe the bird was going through some tough times, dude. You never know.
Hey, man. At least it wasn't a human.
Now, based on the damage he did to my car, I hope some hard times is over. I hope he made it to some nice Thai family's dinner table for some duck curry, son of a bitch.
And on Mother's Day, too?
Yeah. Damn, he's a motherfucker, man. That's for sure. But
what about you guys? Tommy, Toxic, BT, how was Mother's Day weekend? Wait.
Mine was boring.
BT Knight, do Australians even celebrate Mother's Day? I don't know.
Yes, we do. Okay. Is this my mother wasn't into doing anything like fucking like full on or anything like that. She was just relaxing, playing Fortnite. She's turned into a Gen Z fucker. She's playing Fortnite now, playing horror games and that now. She's been doing very well, but she's got to be very careful when she plays the horror games, because she's had a stroke. Mm-hmm. And the horror factor can sometimes, like, it could shock the nerve system. So I even told her, like, you got to be fucking careful. And she's like, yeah, I'll take that into consideration. So, she's been this close to winning battles in Fortnite. I think she got, like, number two at one point.
She'll get there. It takes a while.
Holding her rage? Because Fortnite is a very rageable game.
Oh, you don't have to tell me twice. Like, she says cunt at least 10 times in a row.
TikTok language.
I have never heard her say that word in my entire life until she was playing Fortnite. I'm like, holy shit.
Shit, I spit out at least 10 of those before noon. I'm proud of her.
It's a bit complicated due to family issues I will not be getting into. But yeah, it was fine other than that.
Nice. Toxic, you said yours was boring.
Yeah, we didn't really do anything. My mom just got a few things from me and my sister cooked dinner for her. So, yeah, that's it.
Wow, lucky you. I did so much shit all weekend. We celebrated both days for them. And I'm broke as fuck now. So that was my weekend. But let's talk about some wrestling. There's only a few things on Monday Night Raw that I feel like we should really cover here tonight. One of them was the opening segment with CM Punk. CM Punk came out. He started off the show and he was talking about Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman, I should not be surprised. You betrayed me before. You betrayed me again. And, you know, we've been here before. Then Paul Heyman came out and he came out looking like, you know, he was about to do something. But it was because Paul Heyman had his crew with him, Seth Rollins and Bron Breakker, to back him up. Things got out of control after Bron Breakker attacked CM Punk. Then Seth Rollins got into the melee. But Sami Zayn and Jey Uso both showed up to assist CM Punk, and they chased off Bron Breakker and Seth Rollins. But it was a good way to start off the show. CM Punk, it was then later announced that he's going to be facing Bron Breakker, I believe, at Saturday night's main event. Is that what it was?
Tag match. Punk and Sammy versus Breakker.
That's right. Thanks, Toxic. But yeah, good to have CM Punk back. Good to see him start off the show. And it made this thing with Seth Rollins and Bron Breakker, that whole storyline, a little bit more interesting, because who knows what's going to happen next. Blood, did you catch this one, and what did you think?
Yeah, I watched the whole show. Very surprisingly middling to average show. I know they just came off of a pay-per-view, PLE, still stuck on old speak. I don't think I'll ever comfortably ever call them PLEs. But I liked this segment. I liked the entirety of it. It took up about the first 15 minutes or 20 or so minutes of Monday Night Raw. I will say the one thing about all of this that I'm happy about the most is that the World Heavyweight Championship is also involved in all of this. So it's not being relegated to some small side story of Jay trying to defend against, you know, Logan or another Gunther rematch we just found out about that I'm assuming is now happening at Money in the Bank, because they said it for June. Whoever wins at Saturday night's main event will challenge Gunther in June, and Money in the Bank is a PLE in June. Which brings me to a whole nother fear that whoever wins Money in the Bank is cashing in on Jay if he goes against Gunther. I have a weird feeling that he's going to retain against Gunther and then someone's going to cash in. And the title's going to change hands. That's really worrying me. I thought about that earlier tonight. This segment really put in my head, oh, God, what if Seth is in the Money in the Bank or Braun and they cash in? And that's how Seth gets the title. That was kind of looming over this segment for me when I watched it back during the Viking Raiders tag match. I didn't care about, so I watched that back after I now had the new information of Gunther v. Whomever wins at Saturday Night Main Event. So it kind of painted this segment in a whole new light for me. I would say that I love having Punk back. Y'all know that's my number one. I like how fired up he was. I like the energy. I like that combative nature. I like the callback to 12 years ago that this was not the... This is the first time, by the way, in the entirety of Punk being back, they have ever mentioned Paul Heyman betraying him previously to this. They have never mentioned that till now. And I'm so glad they finally decided to keep with their own continuity, because it's true. Paul did smack that ladder into Punk's head 12 years ago. Had to get like 13, 14 stitches right across the top of his forehead. And that was how he originally betrayed Punk, if I remember correctly, for Brock Lesnar. So it's, you know, when it comes down to it, it was either for Brock Lesnar or for Michael McGillicuddy. That's a name y'all haven't heard in forever. Toxic and freaking Tommy and BT all probably haven't heard that name. But as far as it's concerned, liked it a lot. It's sad because to me, this was the most important thing on the show and they did it first. So everything after, for me, just it went from here's the beginning and then middled off for the rest of the show, just kind of leveled out. I was really hoping we get more. They did make this kind of a three-segment thing with Sammy going to Jay's aid when he got attacked by Bron Breakker backstage. And, of course, earlier in that night, them announcing the tag match between Breakker and Rollins versus Sammy and Punk. So I'm glad we got a little bit more mileage out of the fallout of this first segment. But again, I feel like this would be so much better if Roman was around for this more. I feel like that would really make this like kind of God-tier storytelling involving Roman on a more personal scale instead of just waiting to peer back into the story whenever the story needs him. This story could maintain him and, you know, go on a break later. You know, stay here for this story till this story is completely underway and then go on a break. Don't cliffhang us Monday night after Raw with Punk and you know, Reigns staring at each other going off air. And then Reigns has been gone for 2 weeks or 3 weeks now. So it's kind of, Other than that, loved it. I'm very happy that they are making sure that Jay is being seen as an important piece on Monday Night Raw, because this is the most important story happening on Raw. And the World Heavyweight Champion needs to be involved in that. So I'm loving that they are not leaving Jay out of this. Those are my thoughts. Fantastic.
I have a load of things to say, but I'm going to stick to the ones that are mainly on topic about this, and then when we go over the stuff more on about this whole segment and the fallout of it, then I will go into that, because BT knows that I crashed out in the chat, and if you paid attention to the chat and TikTok, then yeah. But yeah, I agree with Blood. This was the most important thing to me. I'm enjoying this most on Raw, other than the Rhea and Io and the two NXT girls. I'm enjoying that as well. But yeah, this was just the most important thing to me. I wanted to see what was going to happen, because, like I said, this is the most important story to me on Raw currently. And the whole idea of Gunther getting another shot just makes me so mad on so many different levels. I don't understand it. Did Roman Reigns get a title shot from Cody when he came back at SummerSlam? Did he say, I'm getting a title shot after your next defense, whoever wins, I'm going after next. Did he say that? No. He said, I will be coming after this, but he never did. So just because Gunther tapped out, he thinks it's okay for him to get another shot. I could go more into detail about this, but I am not, because if I do, I will most likely use some non-TikTok language things.
Well, we are going to get into more details about that in a little bit here. But go ahead, Tommy.
All right. Surprise, surprise to literally no one. CM Punk comes back before Roman Reigns does. Not a surprise to literally anyone whatsoever. Roman has a habit of this, and he's going to keep doing it. And it's going to piss everybody off the more he does it. But with this, I love how this started. Punk comes out. He just starts crashing out over Heyman. And I love it. Especially how Heyman came out. It's like, I can't wait to get my hands around that fat little neck. Ladies and gentlemen, my name. No. No one, let's go. Like, that's just classic Punk right there. It truly is. It's a classic version of Punk. And as Blood said, and I completely agree with him, I love the fact that they're bringing in what happened before he left for 10 years. I love the fact that they're bringing up what happened 12 years ago during that betrayal. It's just awesome with how they're doing this. It truly is. This tag match that they announced for Saturday night's main event, we'll see how it goes. We will overall see how it goes. I think that it's going to be a good match, but then again, it possibly won't be. We will just have to wait and see.
Want to give a couple quick shout-outs to the Real Life Hobbit, says, hey, hey, and the SDN Podcast says, hey, Edgar, let's talk soon. Thank you guys for hanging out. Shout-out to y'all. Take it away, BT.
Okay, the segment itself between Punk, Seth, Heyman, and Braun, Sammy, and Jey Uso, fucking amazing. A great way to start the show. A few things that I want to point out from the aftermath from the whole segment and the whole Saturday night main event bullshit. I think it's bullshit that those matches are on Saturday night's main event. If you can build a Gunther versus Jey feud for 6 weeks leading up to WrestleMania, why the fuck can't you do the same thing for Logan and Jey? That is very hypocritical to me. And also, why the fuck is WWE so hard driven into making important matches, which is CM Punk and Sami Zayn versus Seth and Braun on a Saturday night main event when it should be a Money in the Bank match? It should. It should be on that PLE. And I'm not just saying this because I won't be able to watch Saturday night's main event live because I don't fucking have it on Netflix. I'm saying this because it is an important story. It's an important story-driven match. And it's on a Saturday night's main event. I know they did the same thing with Cody's reign when they did Cody versus Kevin. And I get that. But what happened after that match? We had an angle where Kevin hits a pile driver on Cody, and it happened after the match was done, and we didn't get to see it live. So what happens next? Are they going to pull some bullshit where they announce the third member of this faction and it doesn't happen live? What's going to happen there? Because for some reason, I can't fucking trust Triple H and his antics anymore. I can't. And with Gunther, don't even get me started with it. They are nitpicking the rematch clause for all of these world title opportunities. I swear to God, it's starting to get really fucking annoying. Make up your fucking mind. Does it exist or does it not exist? But I'm not surprised, because what the fuck is Gunther supposed to do? Because he's fucking done everything. And he just had a match against Pat McAfee. So that just suddenly, because he beat up a commentator, he just waltzes his way back to the title scene? That doesn't make any fucking sense to me. So, those are my thoughts on that.
BT, do you have Peacock?
No, I do not.
Okay. I was going to say Saturday night's main event is on Peacock, not Netflix, but yeah, we're going to talk about Gunther, too, a little bit more here, because I got some comments about that.
So, B, real quick. So, your answer on why it's happening at Saturday night's main event, my guess is they're putting Logan into that Money in the Bank match. I think that's why it's not at Money in the Bank.
But I mean, does Logan really need it? Does he really need it?
I'll tell you the actual, because so we can move on. My wife asked the same question we were watching the show, and it's honestly just pretty simple money ball here, guys. They're putting Logan up against Jay because they know, regardless of how much build they give it or lack thereof, Jay's massive built-in following that is going to garner so much attention because so many people are going to watch one of the Paul brothers on NBC/Peacock against the champion of the largest professional wrestling conglomerate in the world that is also in conjunction with the UFC, and both brothers are professional fighters. It's just because they know that this match is just so Logan himself and his built-in following can get the eyes on Jay as champion as early as possible into his reign. Because there's so many people who are going to watch this that are not WWE or professional wrestling fans at all, but are massive Logan Paul fans from all of his content, his brother, all that other crap. And they're going to tune in. His millions and millions of followers are going to tune in just to watch him go for the main world title on one of the flagship shows of this huge multi-million/billion-dollar world conglomerate. So it's all this match is, in my opinion, is a clout match. And they're using Logan and his clout to rub off on Jay to bring more eyes to Jay's reign going forward. That's why they're doing it on Saturday night's main event, technically a throwaway glorified house show versus on a massive PLE where they know they're going to have bigger stuff for the world title to be planned in. And NBC's Saturday night's main event does not, we've already seen this the last two times, does not get the same level of viewership that their normal PLEs do. So this is to bump a rating. That's all this is for. They know Logan's losing. They throw the stake in with Gunther to hype it up even more. So you really want to see, is Logan going to beat Jay and become the world champion and then go on to face Gunther at Money in the Bank? That's all it is. So we all can assume that this match is ending with Jay still as champion, but it's a stunt match just to pop a rating and get the rub on Jay from Logan's following and get a few more viewers in there. And that's all it's for.
Shout out to Sato619 says, casual viewers is why it's at Saturday night's main event. Logan Paul and Jey Uso have that following for the casuals. WWE wants new viewers. That, and also, I mean, this is the working title, right? The working man's championship, right? Yeah. So Jey Uso needs to get some title defenses in there.
It's and Prime is a sponsor.
I just wanted to ask Blood this question very quickly. If Roman's scheduled appearance is at Money in the Bank, why the fuck would you put a tag match between Seth and Braun and Punk and Sammy? Why would you put that on Saturday night's main event and not the Money in the Bank?
So whatever happens at Saturday night's main event is going to feed or bleed into what happens at Money in the Bank. Whatever match comes out of that. That is a match that either Roman is going to be a part of or he is going to interfere in and stop. So you have to assume that, remember, this is tic-tac-toe storytelling here. We use the minor show to plug the big shows. Saturday night's the minor show. So let's say this Monday was the first X. Saturday night's main events is the second X. Whatever Roman's appearance at Money in the Bank is the third X. Tic-tac-toe. Right. It's that simple. Just use this show to advertise essentially the angle for the next show.
All right. Well, let's move on here, you guys. The next thing I really want to talk about out of this whole entire Monday Night Raw was the Chad Gable versus Penta match, because I was actually pretty excited for this match, believe it or not. Just because of what happened at Backlash, how that match ended with El Grande Americano interfering, causing Penta the Intercontinental Championship. I was, you know, that kind of made this match a lot more interesting than probably for, you know, more me than most of you guys. Because the whole time I was wondering, oh, is El Grande Americano going to come out and interfere again, or what's going to happen here? But Michael Cole explained it that Chad Gable took over for El Grande Americano because El Grande Americano was doing a Mexico tour. And Yeah, there was just a lot of fun things that were involved in this match. So I watched it. It was a good match. However, Penta ended up getting the win, and Michael Cole made a good point that Chad Gable still maybe should wear the mask because this is the only way that he gets wins. But I'm convinced it's not Chad Gable, you guys. You guys have any thoughts about this match? Toxic, I believe you're up.
Yeah, I'm just going to say this so we can just put an end to the Snug trying to be different. El Grande Americano is obviously Chad Gable. If you can't tell that by now, Americano has been here since the beginning of the, or before the European tour. If you cannot tell that, that is obviously Chad Gable with some American-made Lucha Libre mask on, you are dumb as a rock. Snug.
Well, joke's on you because there's been pictures circling around the internet of a guy under the Grande Americano mask that does not have the tattoos and looks a little bit different than Chad Gable. So there is another guy out there that is indeed the real El Grande Americano. That's what I think.
Yeah, what, in your imagination?
Nah, dude, that's just reality. I can see through the bullshit, you know? Tommy, what do you think?
I think, quote unquote, you could see through the bullshit. Why the hell did Chad Gable respond to Americano then?
Because he's American. He's part of the American made. Maybe, you know, they're talking
but
about
Americano
my
specifically?
Yeah.
Fuck you.
All right.
The match was great. I will say that. Penta getting the win makes sense. Pushes them in even more. Him getting involved in a match that we might talk about later? Snug?
I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see. But, yeah. Just Penta being Penta. Cero miedo.
I enjoyed this match. It was decent. But it definitely isn't better than their first match when Penta debuted. That's for damn sure. Mm. But this match was fun. The only criticism I have is I was very surprised that Ivy Nile was being a good girl this whole match. I was expecting her to get a bit feisty with some of the boys in the damn ring. That was the only thing that disappointed me about this whole thing. That was the only thing. I was expecting her to at least throw one punch at Penta and Penta to knock her out. Equal rides, equal fights. I live by that, okay?
Okay, I thought you were talking about something completely different. Okay.
Yeah. But I enjoyed this match nonetheless, but it's definitely not better than Penta's debut match, which was against Chad Gable. But it was fun nonetheless. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth. You actually said it before I did. And I was literally going to say their first match was far better because it was a first time that fresh, brand new toy in Penta. Chad just, like, you know, straight up going, okay, I'm going to give you the best debut match I could possibly give you, and gave him everything he had. And their first match, in my opinion, is honestly one of the best Monday Night Raw matches of the year so far. And I don't think that's honestly, a hot take. I think that match is easily in the top 10 best Monday Night Raw matches of this year so far. This one, again, very fun, very well worked. Look who's in the ring. I will say, again, yeah, I'm surprised Ivy didn't do anything. She was a good girl for those of us who are pit bull owners. But what do you call it? As far as it's concerned, because they call her the pit bull. But okay. You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't, you know, actually.
But sorry, channeling my inner Fresh Prince. You know what I'm saying? But as far as it's concerned, other than Ivy and the doggy and his style, as far as it's concerned, we had a really good match. It was fun. It did what it needed to do. I feel like a lot of these matches got to go a bit longer tonight. I don't feel like we had a lot of in-ring work tonight. We had in-ring work, obviously, but I mean match number per se. It felt like a very light show in the terms of the card, but we had some seriously long matches. We had three matches tonight. But three matches, think about it though, three, are you sure? Four, because there's tag match. But four matches on a 2.5 hour card is surprising, because when you really think about the amount of advert and everything that gets thrown in there, for those of you who get ads, I don't. But as far as it's concerned, it's a little weird when I think 2.5 hours and there's only like four matches. Vince McMahon would squeeze like fucking eight matches into a 3 hour show, and he'd make like four of those matches less than 7 minutes. That was even if he even gave the women longer than 5.5 minutes to breathe. I thought it was fun, did what he needed to do. I think giving Penta the win was the correct decision. He's taken the pin to Chad Gable under the mask of El Grande Americano or whatever. I think twice now he's been screwed over and had to eat the pin. So it was smart to give him a win back. That way it's not 50-50 booking, but it is showing the story beat of, hey, Chad can only win with that metal plate in the mask and when he cheats. He cannot best Penta without the mask on in order to hide the MacGuffin that he uses to cheat in the first place. So that proves this win was smart, because it shows everybody Penta is better than Chad, because Chad can't cheat without the mask. So, fun match.
Yeah, I'm starting to wonder now that you mentioned that, Mr. Blood, like, is Chad Gable going to, like, come out and actually admit, hey, I am El Grande Americano, I'm going to keep wrestling under the mask so I can actually win, or something weird like that. I don't know. But how much do you pay
for... telegraphed that you believe that Chad is El Grande Americano.
Yeah, I mean, after hearing you talk about it, I mean, what if he, like, fuck, what's the word for it when, you know, he,
confesses?
No, not confess, but, like, he embraces it even more, you know, when he's just like, you know what?
Well, he was I thought tonight he also, I forgot to mention this because no one else did. He came out, I don't know if y'all saw this, I know that me and BT did, during their commercial, one of the commercial breaks in between matches. I know you guys don't get to see it the way we do, because we have this whole countdown from three back in, whatever, that we see, and you guys get all these ads, and we just keep seeing the show happen for the live audience in attendance. And in between one of the matches, after Chad had already had his match, they came back out for a 3-minute promo to the crowd. And he said, and I thought this was very interesting, because it was also very, very, very against his actual feeling. What's the word I'm looking for? It was hypocritical. He stated, and BT will know this, he said, you know, screw Lucha Libre. I hate Lucha Libre. It's so stupid. But then a line or two later, he praised El Grande Americano, who is in fact Lucha Libre. So you either hate it or you love the guy, one of the guys it is. So that tells me you love yourself, because it's got to be you, right? Unless the whole point is he hates Lucha Libre so much, that's why he's donning the mask of El Grande Americano, so he can spit in the faces of true Lucha Libre. And basically, his parody character is a direct insult every time he beats a Lucha Libre by cheating.
I mean, who can hate El Grande Americano, the greatest luchador to ever live in the history? By the way, WWE Speed Champion... I'll be sure to remind y'all about that.
You know, future... who else was a speed champion? You know, who else was a speed champion? Robert Downey Jr. in the 90s. But we've let that go. So as far as I'm concerned, no one watches Speed. Don't ever say that he's the greatest luchador of all time while Rey Mysterio is alive and breathing and Eddie is up in heaven frog splashing Jesus. You hear me?
Okay. There would not. There would be no Rey Mysterio if it wasn't for El Grande Americano. I'm just saying.
He's older than El Grande Americano.
I'm just saying. Anyway, Mr. Blood, since I'm going to put you on the spot, since I'm just tired of hearing you flex your fucking Netflix account on here. How much do you pay for the Netflix account?
$24 a month.
And are you actually paying for it yourself, or are you like me and letting...
Come straight out of... Don't tell me you're one of the pass... You over here taking someone's password. No, I've literally... So I've had the same Netflix account for 7 years, and since 2020, I went from paying $11.99 to $14.99 to $17.99 to $20.99, and last year it went up to $24.99. I actually had to stop letting my friends who were using it stop using it when Netflix integrated that stupid, if it's not under your IP address, we're going to charge every home $5 to utilize your account outside your IP, because they charged me $30 one month with that $5 penalty fee. So I pay $24.75 or something after tax a month.
But they don't even do that anymore.
They still do, buddy. They still have
no, because my dad has a Netflix account and it won't even let me access it because of the fact that I'm not in the same household as him.
Well, then they probably shut down the ability for it to be accessed outside the one IP. But
yeah, they did.
It's ridiculous because I pay $24.75 or something a month after tax. I don't know what that translates into Australian money, because I don't know what Australians' money is, because it's not dollars or pounds or anything. But
they probably get that shit for free. Australians get everything for free.
But
that's because Australians are cool.
I legit, like, I actually hate when I mean, here's the funny thing. I don't get commercials on any part of WWE except for Peacock. And here's the funny thing. Because I have, I don't watch cable live anymore. I got rid of it at the beginning of the year. Y'all remember that. When I watch SmackDown, it's just YouTube clips, and I pay for YouTube Premium. So I don't even get ads on that.
You should join Snug Stream.
I'm always out working, boys. You know that. But I'm never home when the show's on live. But as far as it's concerned, the thing that sucks for you guys is you do miss a lot of extra story beats that the show throws in there. They have a lot of extra like, we're talking like, what would you say, BT, like 3 to 4 extra promos a night?
Yeah, I would have liked to listen to that Grayson Waller and Austin Theory promo, but...
Yeah, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I went to the restroom, and I heard it from my TV in the living room. Austin Theory getting back on Grayson, throwing him on the bus. No, well, I talked to Adam Pearce. Remember that match you were supposed to have last week? You're going to have it next week against Sheamus instead. And like, we got to hear the whole fucking exchange. And it upsets me because I sit there and I go, man, the guys don't get to see this. And this is important stuff.
I might have to upgrade, but we'll see. Let's get into the Jey Uso segment and talk about the second greatest wrestler after El Grande Americano, Gunther, the Ring General.
You.
Because...
Fuck you.